Good morning, Harvest Church. The last few weeks we talked about some things. Can you remember that word order? And what did I use as an illustration about being out of order in the church? This was on my chair today. I'd like to know, it's got to be a woman. You can have it back. Let's stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can come together as a family and enjoy ourselves, fellowship, and have fun. So we thank you, Lord, for this specific day, in this specific season and hour. And Lord, we prepare our hearts to enter in to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fills me all my days. I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head. I will sing the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Salvation, the goodness of God. faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am in, yes, I will sing. Yes, I will sing. The goodness of God.
Sing that together.
You are worthy. worthy. You are worthy. I can't hold it back. I can't hold back my praise. I can't hold back my praise.
Together.
You are worthy. You are worthy. Break down walls. You make giants fall. And fear cannot survive. We lift you high. And you are worthy of it all.
Sing that again.
For you break down walls. And you make giants fall. Fear cannot survive. We lift you high. You are worthy of it all.
Sing out, you are worthy.
You are worthy. You are worthy. For all of my days I will sing your praise, for you are worthy of it all.
The God of breakthrough.
The God of breakthrough's on my side. The God of breakthrough's on my side. So let praise arise, forever lift him high. He is worthy of it all.
Sing that again.
The God of breakthroughs on my side. The God of breakthroughs on my side. So let praise arise, for ever lift him high. He is worthy of it all.
Jesus, you are worthy.
And Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all.
Jesus, you are worthy.
Jesus, you are worthy. Jesus, you are worthy. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all. For all of my days, I will sing your praise. You are worthy of it all.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Father, this morning, we give you glory, we give you honor, and give you praise in this place. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We'll greet some on the way down. You may be seated. Amen. Whenever we have graduates, I always think it's important that we send them off in prayer. So, Elena, you want to come up here? Bring that other guy, too. Yeah. You go together, don't you? So bashful. Remember when you were young and in love? Huh? I want to pray for you. There, go, tell them, what are you going to be doing? Give me the mic, please. I'll let Elena talk here. Tell them where you're going and what's going on with him, too.
I'm going to Southeast Community College in Lincoln for psychology, and he is also in SCC for welding, and I move out in July.
Good. I'm glad he's in welding. Amen. Not psychology. Let's stand up once more. I'm sorry to make you rise again. Extend your hands towards her. Father, in the name, the precious name of Jesus, we pray for Elena. In fact, I pray for both of them today. Thank you, Lord, for the good work that you've begun in them. You will finish that good work. Lord, open doors that need to be opened and close the doors that need to be closed. And Lord, let them grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the days ahead. And Lord, let their lives be a witness to our Lord and Savior Jesus and all that they do, all that they speak. In Jesus' name, we loose that anointing upon you today. Amen. Now, here's the scripture. You, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the word for both of you. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Just a few announcements. This week, midweek service, 7 p.m. I don't know, what are you going to pray or what are we doing? We'll pray again this week. That's really important at this time. So 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Tuesday, May 14th is the Nebraska primary election. Make sure you get out and vote. And remember, this year the new state law is that you have to have a valid ID to vote. So the best thing to do is just take your current Nebraska driver's license. That works. So make sure you do that. And then on Wednesday, June 5th, we're having fun night. We'll have the horses. We'll have a fish fry. You can bring sides, desserts. We'll have games. And so it'll just be a time of family fun and fellowship and food and all that stuff. We'll give you more information as we get a little closer. Paul tells the New Testament church that he desires that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I believe with all my heart that God wants us to prosper. The prosperity message has taken kind of a hit because some people get off in a ditch too far. And I believe in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, I'll read this to you. It says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will it be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I think where the prosperity message got off wasn't the teaching was so bad, but it was some of the receiving was a little off because they concentrated more on will be given to you than the give. And it talks about with the same measure that you use, it will be given back to you. So if you're just hoarding it up for yourself, then probably that disqualifies you. But this book that we used for the Bible studies, this to me was so good, it brought in balance the prosperity message. So I'm just going to read you a few things. And I had written down, we've been talking about stewardship. Stewardship is the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And so really, you have to understand it all belongs to God, but he's entrusted us and made us stewards. And Hayford talks about here, he says, but sound doctrine, let me go back. Our motivation to include this section of teaching on stewarding our finances is neither rooted in materialistic pursuit nor by the sometimes popularized emphasis common in certain circles of believing community today. But it is sound doctrine, and sound doctrine involves preparing people to live. And there is nothing more fundamental to our daily lives than the issue of how we manage our money. Stewardship is that term which describes the management of everything in our lives, including everything we are, everything we do, what we have, what we hold, and influenced by our skills, presence, words, or investments of time, talents, or funds. To learn to manage money is to lay the groundwork for learning to manage the rest of your life. And it talks about in stewardship, and so many times this is where I think we got off, where we talked about receiving, but never the giving. God wants you to prosper. He wants your family to be taken care of, your kids fed. But it's beyond that. He wants us to be a blessing to people, to the people around us, to the community. And so that's the purpose of giving back, so that we can have more. But it talks about so often about God rewards and blesses faithfulness. So we need to learn to manage our money, steward our money, and be faithful in that money so that we always have something to be a blessing with. So ushers, you may go ahead and receive this morning's tithes and offerings.
Church today, preachers are always happy when their sheep are in the church. Amen. We're going to be on a series for the next few weeks on the name of Jesus. But in the middle of the week, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart to address an issue. So next week, we'll start the name of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you something today, and some of you won't have a clue what I'm going to ask you. Some of you older ones will. How many remember Mayberry RFD? Oh, my. Okay. Well, this is going to start our service today, so watch this short clip.
Right now. Nip it. Nip it in the bud.
What in the bud?
You and Jeff, that's what. Nip it. Tell him you're mine.
Barney Fife, I do believe you're jealous.
Doggone Thelma Lou, you're my girl, ain't you?
Of course I am.
All right, then nip it.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud. First.
first sign a youngster's going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud. Nip it. You go read any book you want on the subject of child discipline, and you'll find that every one of them is in favor of bud nipping.
Take care of it.
Only one way to take care of it.
Nip it.
In the bud.
Right.
Set up a checkpoint, nip this speeding right in the bud.
Forget about her. Nip it in the bud. Barney's in jail.
Nip it, nip it, nip it, nip it, nip it, nip it.
All right.
Now, the minute it looks like there's gonna be trouble, we got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. Let's hear it. Nip it back.
Amen. Now, I know that's corny. Is that corny? Did it get a message across? That's the title of my message today. Nip it in the bud. Now, we don't have this issue we're going to address today. Churches and families and businesses will have to deal with this issue at one point. And you're going to understand. Let me read this spiritual truth to you. We're in a season at Harvest Church that requires order and unity. Say order and unity. Satan will use everything in his arsenal, including offense and strife, to stop a move of God. Amen. In this hour, believers must make a decision of their will to walk in love and forgiveness and work together as a team to reap a harvest of souls. See, you can't reap a harvest of souls if you're in strife. Now look at, find in your Bible, Acts chapter 6. The Apostle Paul, and I'll just read this to you as you find Acts chapter 6. That's our text this morning. But the Apostle Paul made this statement, and I think it's so important for churches. I don't care what church you go to. In 1 Timothy 3:14, he says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. Let me say it again. I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God. It's the pastor's and the leader's responsibility to teach the sheep how to conduct themselves. What's mom and dad do in the household? Now they teach the kids how to conduct themselves. And so it's this subject is so important, because if you have strife and you have, you know, an opportunity to become offended, raise your hands, everybody. Every one of you are going to have an opportunity in the days ahead to be offended and to get into strife, whether it be with mom and dad or with the boss, with the preacher. No amens. The Song of Solomon in chapter 2, verse 15, it states, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's little insults, little complaints, a little unforgiveness, little offense that'll spoil everything. Amen. Now you're in Acts chapter 6. And this is where we have the early church that was just birthed. And they're growing. Everyone say growing. They're having growing pains. And it says in verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples were what? Multiplying. What arose? A murmuring. What in my Bible, New King James says a complaint. Murmuring's excellent, though. There arose a complaint or a murmuring against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now, in the bottom of my Bible, it says the Hebrews were natives of Israel and spoke Hebrew rather than Greek. The Hellenists were Jews who were natives of the Greco-Roman world and spoke Greek. The presence and power of the Spirit, now listen, does not automatically guarantee that life's difficulties will go away. Amen. Often it is necessary for Christians to discuss their differences and ask God for wise solutions. Amen. Would you agree with that? Now, I'm going to identify talk about strife, and this phrase, there arose, say it, there arose. In the Greek, this is what it means. And you'll all concur with this. Something that happens unexpectedly or something that catches one off guard. Amen? How about a tornado? Did they get caught off guard? They had a warning system, which was good, and lives were spared. But sometimes things in life can happen, boom, and just catch you off guard. Amen? Look at Mark chapter 4. Why are you talking about strife, Pastor? I'm not in strife. No, that's good. You don't want to be in strife. But we're just kind of, I'm waiting. Thank you. Some of you are sharp today. Nip it in the bud. Wish Barney was here to say that. Mark chapter 4, and look at verse 35. This is where the wind and the waves obey Jesus. This is, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. The word of God, Jesus Christ himself, said what? You're going to the other side. Now when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great what? Windstorm, here's the word, arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Suddenly and unexpectedly, as if it came out of nowhere, there arose a gale of wind. Now listen to this statement very carefully. Satan's attacks will increase when you're close to a breakthrough. I don't care if you believe in God for finances, or you believe in God for healing, or you believe in God for restoration in a relationship. Satan's attacks will increase when you're close to a breakthrough. Jesus rose up and took his authority over the storm, and so must you and I when we encounter the opportunity to get into offense and strife. That's just how the enemy works. It's the little foxes. I don't care what church, you're going to have people that are going to, the little foxes, they're going to say something. They're going to be critical of leadership. They're going to get offended with somebody. And these are the things that can, now listen, that can stop a move of God. It's important that we understand that. And we don't have that issue here, but this is preventative medicine. Because I look out and I see that we're growing, and that's a wonderful thing. But that can also bring opportunities to become offended and get in strife. Now, the word in the Greek is erethia, for strife. It means a self-seeking ambition that is more concerned about itself and the fulfillment of its own wants, desires, pleasures, than it is in meeting the same need in others. I'm going to read that once more. This word strife describes a self-seeking ambition that is more concerned about itself and the fulfillment of its own wants, own desires, and own pleasures than it is in meeting the same need in others. Just what she talked about with our giving. It's more blessed to give. Not be so concerned about your needs, your concerns. Would you agree with that? 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. That's the love of God. Let me say it again. Love, or God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. How many of you ever had a child throw a tantrum? You're too old. You don't do that anymore, right? How many of you ever seen your kids throw a tantrum? What do you do? In the days ahead, folks, at Harvest Church, we're going to have to let God's love flow. Because you're going to have an opportunity to give of yourself and the gifts that God has put in your heart and share them with others. It's not so much about, you know, you're getting your needs met. If you'll help someone else, God will make sure somebody's there to help you. It's that simple. Look at James chapter 3. I know this is a very simple message, but I'm telling you, I was all ready for the name of Jesus, and I just sensed that we needed to address this subject. Because in the days ahead, if you're around somebody at church and they start complaining, you will say, nip it. Nip it in the bud. Look in James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. That applies to me. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force fire, a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now, my Bible has an interesting commentary on avoiding strife. It says, whenever God moves by the Spirit, the efforts of the adversary will manifest in many ways in order to seek to stem the flow of divine grace. This text notes both envy and strife, and their source and the impact they can make. Ultimately, the devilish source of both indicates satanic enterprise, finding human cooperation. Pure workings of the Spirit can quickly be soured if jealousy or anger is given place. Confusion will infect the life of a congregation, a team of workers, or an individual unless prayerful monitoring resist these evil seeds being sown and taken root. Only by the move of God and the Holy Spirit's help can we stop strife. So are you hearing me this morning? Are you hearing the preacher? How many have ever had strife in your home? Let's raise both hands. We all have. When we were first married, now, I'll tell on myself. I always do. We were young, and we got married less than a year. She came from college and had a teaching position in my hometown, and we turned around and went back to Tulsa, where she taught at the university, Oral Roberts University, and then I worked there. And we get into strife. I remember one time we had an incident. She was hugging this college boy that she went to school with. Because I worked there. I saw her do it. What was his name? Robbie. That's a lame name. And it royalty. Royally, I'm not going to use the word I was going to say, but it upset me. Thank you. I didn't know that back then. Wish I'd heard this sermon. And, of course, I made an ass out of myself. But through our early years, how many of you know your pastors are very strong personalities? Yeah. We were made that way and gifted that way to survive in this area. And we have not only survived, but we've thrived. But we'd get into fights. And she's the kind, she won't, if she gets upset, she won't talk. She just clams up. And Mitch, that just... off. And what I'll do is I'll just stir it up. And I'll leave, go to the shop, and then I'll come back and just stir it up again. That's just the way I operate. And then we go quite a while, and then the proverbial poop hits the fan. And that's when she really gets mad. And I'm telling you something, you don't want to make this woman mad. I fear God, and I'm afraid of my wife, and Bea, and Kaylee. That's about it, no. The tongue is what's used by the enemy to promote strife. Now, I'm going to jump ahead. Proverbs 17, like I said, those outlines, just they're not perfect, amen, because I change them all the time. But there's a good outline there for you on this subject. Proverbs 17, verse 14 says this, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water, therefore stop contention before a quarrel starts." In other words, nip it in the bud. And see, I'm not like that. Abe, are you like that? You can be. I guess you and I would have been sons of thunder, wouldn't we have? Yeah. I'm watching The Chosen. I'd never watched The Chosen. How many of you ever watched The Chosen? If you haven't, you need to watch it. I'll be honest with you. The first, Diane and I were talking, the first episode didn't quite do it. I thought, I'm going to keep going. And I'm telling you something. I'm in there watching it by myself crying. It really will touch your heart about Jesus. Proverbs 17:14, "The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention. Be the mature one and walk away or zip the lip." Amen. Proverbs 23 says, "It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel." We don't want to be fools, do we? Now, for the sake of time, you've got the scripture. Did I put Isaiah 14 in there? No? The origin of all strife? It should be 14. Verse 12 through 14, and then Ezekiel chapter 28. If you study Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you're going to discover who's the first individual that started a rebellion in heaven. Satan or Lucifer. And what happened to him? He was cast out. He led a rebellion against the Most High God. There's eight things here. I'm going to read them to you. Eight steps in the dynamics of strife. And this applies to the home. This applies to your place, your workplace. This applies to the local church. Eight steps. The first one is pride. Say pride. Second one is jealousy. Say jealousy. Number three is selfish ambition. Number four, you begin to question leadership. I'm pausing on that one. You begin to question leadership. I just don't think Pastor knows what he's doing. His wife does, but I don't know if he does. We should follow her. The next one is when you begin to expose obvious defects. And I got a news flash for you. I've got a few. Anybody here got a few defects? But that's what a rebellious leader can do. He begins to get his people together and side with him, just like Lucifer did, and took a third of the angels and they were cast down to the earth. Exposes defects. Then he begins to draw other people away to their side. Then that rebellious leadership leader takes a stand which is not received. And then that rebellious leader and his followers leave. just start another church. Do you know how many times in 40 years I've seen that? Somebody gets mad, maybe the associate gets mad with the senior pastor and gets offended and then begins to get people to side with him. And pretty soon they've left the church and they're three blocks away and they start their own church. Listen to me. That's happened in this community a lot. Now, let me tell you something. Any church where there's strife because someone is jealous or envious or doesn't like the pastor and begins to draw other people away, they leave and they start another church, that church will never succeed. It'll never, never succeed when it's birthed out of that kind of fleshly sin. Amen? I'm telling you, you say, well, I'm not in strife. Wife and I are getting along. The kids are pretty good. My bosses treat me right. I like pastor's message from last year. I think things are going great. Well, I got a clue for you. Just wait. Just wait. This little member have an opportunity to complain. Boy, it's awful quiet. Now, look at Proverbs. I want you to look in your Bible. We're going to go quickly through here. I'm almost done. Let's look at Proverbs 11. This is what a good sheep will do. Look at your neighbor and say, are you a good sheep? Are you a bad sheep? Are you a black sheep? What kind of sheep are you? Proverbs 11, this is how you should respond if you see signs of strife. It's not just my job to guard the sheep. I have leaders here in the church that keep an eye on the sheep. Amen? And you should keep an eye. As husbands and wives and mothers and fathers, do you keep an eye on your kids? Two people. Yep. Proverbs 11, look at this in verse 12. Proverbs 11 and verse 12. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Wow. A talebearer. What's a talebearer? What's another word? Gossip. Reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 7. Go from the presence of a what man? A foolish man. When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. So should you hang around people that are promoting strife? No, the Bible clearly calls them out and says they're fools. Nobody wants to be a fool, right? Look at Proverbs 17. There's so much in Proverbs. Verse 9. Proverbs 17:9, it says, he who covers a transgression seeks love. Doesn't that sound like love covers a multitude of sin? He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Verse 14. Beginning of strife is like releasing water, therefore stop contention before a quarrel starts. We gave you that. So if you sense there's some strife and division and there's an argument brewing, what should you do? Nip it in the bud. You're never going to forget this message. I don't know. Nip it in the bud. Look at Proverbs 22. Look at verse 24. Make no friendship with what? An angry man. And with a furious man do not go. lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And so you and I shouldn't hang around people that are angry all the time, complaining all the time, arguing all the time, stirring up trouble all the time. It says we shouldn't be friends with people like that. Amen? It's awful quiet here in this Episcopalian church. I used to say Lutheran, but we've got some ex-Lutherans, and I don't want to offend you. Amen? Look at Proverbs 24. My family were all Lutheran roots. Great-grandparents, grandparents, my mom. Proverbs 24, verse 21. What'd I say? It's 21, 22, 23. That's the wrong scripture, but I'll give it to you from... Oh, Mike, you're in 23. No wonder it's foreign. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. Message Bible says, respect your leaders, don't be defiant or mutinous. That's good. Amen. Proverbs 26. How many of you read a proverb a day? I do. I encourage you to read a proverb a day. Get a different translation. Just don't get stuck in one translation. Read it from the Message. Message translation is excellent. Proverbs 26 and verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire what? Goes out. So where there's no strife, there's no opportunity for fire. Amen. And where there's no talebearer or gossip, strife ceases. That's what happened as I started this morning with the early church. They were jealous, the Hellenists and the Hebrew, because they weren't being treated, they thought, fairly. Their widows weren't being taken care of. The Hebrew widows were being taken care of first. And it started this, and pretty soon it was like this. And as Satan is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just like Jesus. He's going to continue to use the same arsenal of weapons. And we need to understand that. Amen. This is a strong one, but look at Romans 16. Romans 16. Paul addresses this subject because the Corinthians were really out there with the spiritual gifts and operating the gifts of the Spirit, but they were very sectarian and divisive people. Some of them wanted to follow Paul, some wanted to follow Apollos, and the Apostle Paul addressed this issue. But in Romans 16, in verse 17, now this is strong. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and of what? And avoid them. And avoid them. That's strong. Now there's a process scripturally how to deal with things. If I have an issue with somebody, first of all, I need to go to them. If you got an issue with somebody, you've gotten into strife, go to them. And if you can't take care of the issue, then you need to take somebody with you. Then if that doesn't work, you bring it before the church. And I'll clue you, there are not a lot of churches that would operate in the days ahead, though. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true remnant church, is going to have to operate that way. Because if not, you're going to have rebellious people. What kind of people are going to be coming into the church in the days ahead? I've already had a foretaste. There's a lot of Bobbies out there. Bobby knows Jesus now. That's wonderful. But isn't there a lot of brothers out there you had that are just full of rebellion? They're going to come into the church, and how we're going to have to love on them? Amen? But we're going to have to address. Too many Christians want to bury their head. They don't want to deal with their issues and problems and confront people. And have we had to do that through the years? Oh, Lord. And it wears on you after a while. But you have to. It's scriptural to deal with it that way. Deal with it. Everyone say, deal with it. Everyone say, nip it. Oh, you're smart sheep. I'm not going to have you turn there wrong for the sake of time. What strife proves in the local church? So what's it prove? If there's strife at Harvest Church, this is what it proves. There are divisions. Number two, there's strife and there's rivalry. Number three, there's carnality. What's carnality mean? Flesh. You're not walking in the spirit. You're walking in the flesh. And number four, it proves there's divisive believers. You say, Pastor Mike, in all the years you've pastored, have you ever had to deal with somebody that was divisive and rebellious? What do you think the answer is? I'm a blessed pastor. In all the years I've pastored, I've only had to ask two families to leave the church. And one had been there for a number of years and had given the church a big screen TV. Now that was when TVs were this wide. Remember the old TVs? Huge TV. And we had it in here. We were using it for some reason. But I dealt with the rebellion in their hearts, and they didn't like it. First thing I know is he called one of his friends, and they came in, and they wanted that TV back they gave to church. I said, take it. You can have it. Now, is that about as carnal and childish? Give and it will be given. Give and take it back. If it doesn't work out. Then I had one other time, this is the only second time, and it was on a Wednesday night, and somebody showed up, a total stranger, and he came a couple times, and he came up to me, and he said, you know, the Message translation, that is of the devil. That you can't have that. You can't use that translation. As soon as church was over, I walked out there. Nate was with me. I said, you're not welcome back here anymore because you have a divisive spirit. Do you want a pastor that's going to confront things or just bury his head in the sand and hope that it goes away? Because, folks, it won't. It won't. It's my responsibility to be diligent and know the state of your flocks. Not to control you, but to know how's your life going. It's my responsibility to rebuke with all authority and expose divisive behavior. Titus chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Warn those who are unruly. Matthew 18, 17, I already gave it to you. If the individual doesn't deal with you or with two witnesses, then bring it before the church and tell the church this individual's divisive and causing problems. 1 Timothy 5, verse 20, rebuke in front of all. Proverbs 22, last scripture, verse 10, drive out the scoffer and contention will cease. Awful quiet here. Good, thank you. I know you're intently listening. Is there a problem with strife here? No. And it's not going to happen. We're going to do everything we can in our power that it won't happen because we're going to nip it in the bud. Let's stand to our feet. You can apply these principles to your home, where you work, at school. You are who you hang around. If you hang around fools, you'll become one. If you hang around people that stir up strife and contention and are offended and are gossiping and complaining about everything, I'd find some new friends. Pastor Mike, that was really a good message. Thank you. That was the Father telling me that, not you. Now, why do you think he told me to preach this today? Instead of, I had another wonderful message about the name of Jesus, and we're going to get into that, but it's a warning to each and every one of us in this room. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today that we've heard your word. And if there be anyone here today that is harboring offense, unforgiveness, and has been used by the enemy to create strife, Holy Spirit, I pray their hearts be softened this day and their ears be open to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd so they can make adjustments and get their lives back in order. And I also pray, Lord, for these wonderful sheep before me today. They've learned, Lord God, to nip it in the bud. Moms and dads, you can say, nip it in the bud. Kids can tell mom and dad, nip it in the bud. But these are things that we must do in the days ahead. If we're going to see a move of God and the power of God, then we must come together in agreement and with a spirit of love and unity. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for the grace to make the necessary adjustments in our own lives so that we can be a beacon of light to a lost and dying world. We love you and we honor you this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just got to ask you one more time.